Levon, and music is great this morning, and it's been a fun week for us. We had drama camp down in Garner this last week, and we did a production called Go, Go, Jonah. Incidentally, you love when the Bible comes to life for the kids. I don't know if you saw this week, there was some kayakers out in California got swallowed by a humpback whale and got spit back out. And we're not harmed. And some of the kids were questioning, well, could the Bible really be true? Could there really be a man swallowed by a whale? And of course, absolutely. It happens all the time. And that was kind of neat for them to be able to see that. And we tried to get a boatload to go out with us, and nobody was, you know, if you looked outside this week, you thought maybe you might have saw him running down the road. But it is good to see you this morning. I will tell you, I had to pardon my voice this morning. Wendy, something she's been praying for a while. I woke up Monday morning and I had no voice at all. And but it got a little better as the week went. So hopefully we'll stay with it here. And so if I don't come up and hug your neck or shake your hand too close, I'm trying to keep all those little germs to me. But I'm pretty sure I'm good. She's been good. That was Monday, and we're here at whatever day this is. And what is this, Sunday? But it is good to see you this morning. You'll find our text this morning for our message in John chapter 4. And as a lot of times I will go through a passage of Scripture and go verse by verse, can be a little bit different this morning. John chapter 4, and I'll be reading one verse in a moment, but then we'll be going to a lot of different Scripture passages. John chapter 4 and verse number 22. Brother Ricky always likes to get a title, and I said this morning the title of our message was First Class Faith. Do you have a first class faith? John chapter 4, and of course this is a Samaritan woman to set the stage who Jesus has went out of his way to talk to. And in verse number 23, the Bible states, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, and when he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto him, I that speak unto thee am he." You know, the first thing I wanted you to notice this morning about that, and then about God's Spirit, as I said, we're going to jump around quite a bit through the Scripture today. We're not going to stick in one passage. As I was talking to Brother Billy a couple of weeks ago, or 3 or 4 weeks ago, I can't remember, oddest thing, I said, you know, we were on an airplane not long ago, and this message kind of jumped out at me. I hadn't preached it in... it was before Wendy and I got married, so it's been over 20-something years that I hadn't preached this message, and for some reason it came back. And of course, I couldn't find, I have it on tape, but for those of you who know what a tape is, and I said, you know what, I'm just going to let God lead in what direction He wants with it. I mentioned to Brother Billy, and for some reason, Brother Billy, it was when Brother Billy was in Georgia, and we were together down there years ago, and he said, I remember that message. And I'm glad he could remember it because I couldn't remember it. But whatever reason, God laid that on my heart today. And the more I looked at it, it fit. There is a saving spirit that you must have to have first class faith. Have you ever traveled on an airplane? How many of you have done that? Now, a lot of you. Have you liked to travel on an airplane? Brother Justin over here, I'm going to get him on the mission field one day, and he's just going to wake up and he's going to be in a box that says feed and throw water in. Because he hates planes, and he's been on one missions trip, and he said, if I can get there by boat, I'll go. But my wife and I, when we first got married, Wednesday next week. I've lost the days of the June 29th. 27 years ago, we got married. So we'll be celebrating our 27th wedding anniversary, and I'm only 35 years old. So it's great how you do that. But as we got engaged, I was from South Georgia. She was from almost Canada. She was from around the Erie, Pennsylvania area in a village called West Springfield. And she was in the suburbs of the village. And we met in college in Florida and got together. And her daddy, who's in heaven now, knew he was in trouble when she called back and said, "Y'all guys." He said, "Who are you hanging around?" Well, we fell in love, and we have been ever since. Great marriage, fall in love with the same person many times. And I tell you, it was exciting, though. I flew up to Pennsylvania with a ring in my, you remember the old briefcases? To ask her to marry me. And I did, and it's a long story how all that unfolded. The pastor up there actually had me share all that on a recorded interview that was going to air, I knew, as we were driving to the airport the next morning. I hadn't asked her yet, and that was recorded on Sunday afternoon. I was going to ask her Sunday night, so I was going out on a real limb. She was going to say yes, because he said, "Well, tell us what brings you to the area." He knew, but he was wanting to get it out to all their listeners in that region, and I was preaching at their church that night. And so I said, "Well, by the time this is recorded, it will be my fiance." Thank God she said yes. I guess I'd have had to do something different. But we got to the airport the next morning, and I'd ask her to marry me, and she said, "Of course I wouldn't." Jumped off. I mean, right now, I'm asking you seriously. And she didn't realize I was that serious. And I opened up the ring, and of course, then it's like, you know, girls have a little gene in their body that does something different than guys, you know. Girls do the ask you to marry thing, and girls have something that just goes, "Bah!" I think that describes it best. I've never been a girl, so. But it's, she got to the airport that morning, and it was 6 o'clock. It was an ungodly hour of 6 o'clock in the morning. Man, when you're in your, you know, early 20s, 6 o'clock is an ungodly hour, you know. And we had a flight back. We were flying back from her home to college, and we had to go through Erie. They have one plane in Erie, and it takes off, you know, 2-3 times a week. And we had the one flight on the little bitty thing coming out of Erie, and then we went through Pittsburgh, that big old airport in Pittsburgh. And when we got to the airport, now there's another gene in women's bodies, apparently. Now, men can see a woman or a baby in the hospital, and my wife will say, "Well, what was the baby?" And I said, "It was a baby, you know." Now, ladies can tell you how big it was, how many, you know, what the fingernails were colored, and how many pounds it is, and all that, you know. But also engagements. You know, guys kind of notice these things. I think girls can spot a wedding ring from the 5th aisle in Walmart, you know. I mean, just zoom in on it. I don't know how in the world, but when we were checking in for our flight, if you flew U.S. Air about years ago, if you flew them, you know what I mean. They, the attendant looked at me and looked at her and said, "Oh, let me see that." I'm like, "Oh, what's she talking about?" I mean, you know, we'd only been engaged for a few hours. I had no idea what she's talking about. And of course, Wendy's doing this, you know, and really it wasn't that heavy. I promise you, I was going into ministry. And she saw that engagement ring at 6 o'clock in the morning. And she picked up on that thing and she said, "Oh, honey, when did you get this?" He said, "Just last night," you know, and she's coming around and they're hugging, like, "Well, you know this person." It was definitely pre-COVID. But I got in there and we got in there and she looked at our tickets and she took our tickets. Now I'm starting to get worried. This is back in the paper ticket days, you know, and you got to have that ticket. And so she took our tickets, and she said, "I'll be back." And she came back, and she said, "Well, we don't really have first class on this first flight because it's just a little prop job, you know." But she said, on the flight from Pittsburgh to Clearwater, Florida, Tampa, Florida, where you're going, there's some extra first class seats, and as a wedding present from U.S. Air, we are going to upgrade your seats to first class. Like, woo! Now I got excited. And we walked in that plane and we sat down and them big old lazy boys, you know, and they're coming back, "Do you need anything?" And we're like, "What?" Didn't do that on the way up. Had some toddler sitting in my lap halfway up, you know, the mom's trying to rein her in. And I was like, "What in the world?" And they let us fly first class from Pittsburgh to Tampa, Florida. And we got there, enjoyed that. Man, it was a great start to our engagement period and all that. And we got married in 96. And I promised her two things when we got married. A lot of you know this. I promised her, I said, going into ministry, because she said she'd never marry a preacher, and I said I'd never be a preacher. So be careful what you say. And she said, now you understand going into ministry, there's two promises I can make you. You will never be bored, and you will never be rich. I've kept both promises. But you know, after that time, I'm pretty sure she's never been bored, and a lot of y'all know our lives, yeah. But we've flown all over this world, literally. We have never yet flown first class again. No, we ought to do. We ought to get engaged again. Maybe that'd work. But it was the only time we ever flew first class. There's a saving spirit. When Jesus was looking at that Samaritan woman, he was telling her, God is a spirit. It doesn't matter what church you attend. Doesn't matter what clothes you wear. And I began to think about an airplane and all the similarities of an airplane ride and this thing we call faith or salvation, trusting in Jesus Christ as your only way to heaven. And I began to realize all the similarities of an airplane ride. Number one, you got to have the right ticket. You know, Genesis, you cannot get away from the Holy Spirit of God, the Father, and God the Son. If you leave the Holy Spirit of God living inside of a person, guiding you every day, you do not have first-class faith. The first thing you have to have is the saving spirit. You say, well, where does that show up in Scripture? Glad you asked. The first place in Scripture, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. What does it say? The what moved upon the face of the waters, those that have been through the Bible Institute? The Spirit. Very first chapter, second verse of the Bible, there's the Spirit of God alive and well. When he said, let's create man, he says, let's create man in our own image. That word is our, meaning plural, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so he, very well, you cannot get away from it. You say, where is that in the New Testament? Well, I'm glad you asked that too. You don't have to go very far. The very first book of the Bible, Matthew, starts talking about the Holy Ghost moving. Another word for spirit in our English Bible. You find, what is Mary told? Mary is told, the Holy Spirit shall overcome you and you shall conceive with that child that we know is Jesus. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of time in your English Bible, you will find the Holy Spirit, or in other words, the Holy Ghost. It's there. It's a saving spirit. The right ticket to the right destination. You been afraid you'd get on the wrong plane? Now, Brother Billy and I are alike in one way. I used to worry about paper tickets versus electronic tickets and all that business. And I'm like, well, what am I going to do if I lose my ticket if it's on my phone? And then one day it hit me. You dummy, what you going to do if you lose your paper ticket? So it's about the same. Go to the lady at the desk and say, hey, I lost my ticket. Can you help me? But do you realize you can't get a ticket to Honolulu and wind up in San Francisco? Well, it depends on the airline carrier, but it might happen. But there, you have to have the right ticket. You know, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And is there ever been a time when there is so much, I'm going to use the word religion, that sounds like it don't make a whole lot of sense? You hear about these religions, so to speak, and they're going in and killing babies and killing people and destroying. That's not a God. He says, try the spirits. Is your faith a saving faith? Is it a saving spirit? Do you have the beginning of first-class faith? What do you understand it takes for a person to go to heaven? It's kind of interesting. My friends, Richie and Kathy, are here this morning. Don't want to embarrass them. It was before I knew they were coming today. They texted me in the middle of the week. I had been working on this message a few weeks ago, and I wrote in an event that happened in their lives. And they didn't know they were going to be in the message. And then they texted through the week and said, hey, we're coming. I was like, man, that had to be a God thing. But I was helping them with a ride to the airport the other day, and one of their sons had gotten sick and everything, and we've become friends over the last few years. And something I've seen a bunch of junk before that has come across. But we were just getting ready to leave the camp down here, going to the airport, and she said, what in the world? And she was very upset, and I would have been upset too. And she had gotten a text from her airline carrier, said her flight was canceled. I mean, we were leaving to go to the airport, you know, it's paid for, it's bought. And we're looking at it going, what in the world? She's pulling out all her papers, starting to call. And I looked and she said, you and I said, well, sure, I'll look at it. We looked at it. We got on our little apps on our phone and everything and pulled them out. And according to all the apps, all the airline information, the plane's planning on leaving. They're going to board it all the times. And you know what we determined? I know it was true because she's went and come back. It was a scam to try to get you to return text to them, and then they want to get your credit card information and your firstborn child and all that stuff, you know? A scam. Try the spirits. How is this first class faith? How is our life like an airplane ride? There's a lot of junk out there that would like to scam you. Somebody comes in and says there's any other way to heaven other than Jesus Christ and trusting in what he did for you, his finished work on the cross of Calvary. You can mark it down on the authority of this book. That is a scam. First class faith has a saving spirit. You know, it's very interesting. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I was thinking about airplanes and how you do that. You go through the screening process. You have to have a ticket. And by the way, the ticket's got to be paid for. I don't know if you know this or not. They don't let you on if you haven't paid for your ticket yet. You think about that. I remember as a 7-year-old boy kneeling down and asking Jesus Christ to come into my heart and be my Savior. You don't have to be in a church. You can be anywhere in the world you want to be. But when that moment hits you and you feel that, the Holy Spirit of God convicting you, that's not a heartburn. That's not a heart attack. That's God saying, hey, I'm trying to get your attention. And you say, yes, Lord, I believe you are the only way I'll ever get to heaven. I can't work good enough to get there. I can't do it on my own. There's not anything in me. And you do what Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And when that happens, you get a paid-for ticket. It was paid for a long time ago at the cross of Calvary. You don't have to do a thing to get it. Cost everything, but it's free to you. You see, there's a saving spirit. And then when you get to go on an airplane, have you ever noticed there's a screening spirit, because we need to screen the spirits and see what they are. One of the airports we went to, you know, nowadays you don't just go get on the flight. There are some things you must wear and some things you must not wear when you go flying. Now, they don't care what color your shirt is, but they sure do want to know what's inside it. I tell you, one flight we were on to the Philippines one time, we were going through a security checkpoint in Honolulu, and I looked at the airport agent, and I said, I am really glad that you guys care about how comfortable I am. And they said, what? And she was laughing a little bit, and I said, because if I take anything else off, I better be at home. I mean, you know, take your shoes off, take this off, take your belt off, take that off, take the other off, take, you know. Put this on, don't put that on. And you know, there's a screening spirit. Don't take this. One time we went through an airport, and I probably shouldn't say this on our streaming, but I had a little penknife I forgot about, and it was in my laptop bag, and it went right through. But Grammy was flying with us, and her bottle of hair detangler got confiscated. Got to watch out for them little Grammys with hair detangler, you know. There's a screening spirit. And now every airport agent in the country is going to be looking for my penknife. There's a screening spirit. And do you realize the Bible says, put on, therefore, the conversation. He tells us to put on the fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. He tells us to put off the works of the flesh. And then there is a sealing spirit. Not to bring up a sore subject with folks, but we were talking about the Titanic expedition that apparently, I haven't seen hardly anything. I don't have time to watch the news. And stuff that this week, but apparently somebody didn't think through. Somebody mentioned to me in Sunday school, they bolted the doors of that booger shut. Now, I've been working with my hands and tools and stuff a long time, and you're not a putting me in anything that you bolt the doors down on willingly. Because I know what happens to bolts and nuts. They break. They don't always come off when they're supposed to. But have you ever noticed that ceiling of an airplane? You back up from the tarmac and they shut that door, and you just don't get up from your seat and go walking over there. We were on the way to the Philippines that second time. I remember Brother Calvin and I, the second flight time I went to the Philippines, we did the long tour where you have like the 18 hours in one plane for a while to Japan. And 20 hours in a plane with Brother Calvin is, I would say it's godly, but at about the fifth hour in, we didn't care. We were bored to death. And we were making laps around that plane, you know, till the stewardess was starting to look at us funny. But we didn't get out. And once they seal that door shut and they pull that thing away, you're not getting out. You know, there's some other things about an airplane that's a lot like salvation. You ever notice some people, they trust Christ as their Savior. They say, yes, I believe you are my Savior. I believe you'll get me to heaven. They don't live like it. You never know the way they lived that they were any different than anybody else. Kind of like Jonah in the Old Testament. You always kind of wonder, did he even enjoy being a prophet? Our kids last week in the play we did, they said one of the lines is, well, Jonah then got into a sailfish. And they said, a shellfish? And he said, no, a sailfish. He got selfish after the whole thing was over. And you look at some Christians and you wonder, they walk around like, you wonder if they've been, you know, eating lemon juice and sucking on a pickle all day. You're like, do they really know who Christ really is? Because they hear about the Holy Spirit of God. They know the Bible says that He indwells us, and we know that we are to be filled with the Spirit every day. Get up and say, Lord, please fill me with your Spirit today. Because I haven't been mad at anybody. I hadn't yelled at anybody. I hadn't done anything wrong yet. But I'm going to get up in a few minutes and hit the floor. And you see, they know about it. But I think it's kind of like we view the airplane stewardess. If you've been on a plane, you know there's a routine. Best one I ever got one time was on a flight to somewheres, and we were on this plane, and they came out. It was on Allegiant Airline, and this stewardess came out, and she realized that nobody in the plane was paying attention. The only people that really pay attention to those plane instructors, you know, when they come on with the whole thing about the mask is going to drop down and you'll be safe if you do this, and it's almost, you know, all this stuff that goes on, whatever it is. And she was having fun with it. And she wanted to see who was paying attention. And she said, for those of you that were alive in the 60s and you know what a lap belt is, like, oh yeah, this one's got some humor. And then she said, and in the unfortunate case, we decide to go water skiing while we're on this flight, then you just reach under that thing and you make that a life preserver. I always wondered, how am I going to get from the plane to the water? That slightly concerns me. But the only people that pay attention is probably Justin and those that are scared to fly and the ones that have never flown before. And I'll be honest, the last plane I was on, I don't even remember if I was awake by the time they get, it was an early bird flight. So I really don't even remember. I was kind of, you know, dozing off by the time she or he got up there and started doing the whole, here's the oxygen mask, here's this, here's that. Let me ask you a question. If you'd have been on one of those planes that hit the World Trade Center, would you have been trying to remember what that stewardess said about where them belts were? Now, we know the after the fact didn't help them a lot, but how about that plane that landed in that big river up yonder? What is that? Hudson. Do you think those people, when that pilot said, you know, we're going to be landing in the river shortly, you think there were some people going, now, what was it she said? Seatbelt on this side, that side. What was it in the event of a water landing? How many people you think were starting to look for them preservers and see if they worked? I think that's what it's like. When we tell people you need to live your life filled with the Spirit of God, they say, yep, it goes in one ear and out the other. But do you realize, like Brother Brad said, one, if you're getting older, and I think everyone in the room is getting older by the second, you realize a rapture might happen. We'll be out of here anytime. If you think this world is getting to be a better place to live in, then I really want to know what you're smoking. It's not happening. You need a first-class faith to live in this world. And it has to come from a sealing spirit, that Spirit of God. He said, no one has been able to pluck any man out of my hand. Anybody trusting Christ is in God's hand. You're not ever got to worry about again once you make that decision that whether you're saved or not. But a lot of people, I'm afraid they have a first-class faith and they're flying in coach. Because they don't ever pay attention to the stewardess. The Holy Spirit's every day trying to get a hold of them, trying to talk to them, trying to mention to them, saying, look, here's where the mask is. You're going to need this mask real soon. Here's where that is. Here's where the other is. He says, be not drunk with wine in Ephesians, but be filled with the Spirit of God. The emphasis there is not on not drinking. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket science to figure out alcohol kills people every year, but the emphasis is on being filled with the Spirit. Being filled so much of God that it's coming out of you that it appears like you don't even have any control of yourself, but God is working through you. You see, there is a satisfying Spirit. You know, I learned something. There is a difference. Now, all the airlines go through, and some people say, well, you should only fly this airline. I'll tell you, some of the more expensive airlines have had more trouble on flights I've been on than the cheap ones. But they all go through the same FAA carrier, I mean, all the same regulations. They all get the same checks. You know what the biggest difference is? You're paying for peanuts or snacks or pretzels or whatever they give you. You know, some of the flights, you have to buy your own drink. Well, I can pay, you know, $3 for a bottle of water versus another $300 for a ticket, you know, or video or whatever. And some of them, the seat backs don't lay back. So we'll just kick back hard enough till we break it or something. I don't know. But that's the difference. But there is a lot of people that are back there not getting a bottle of water. They're not back there getting what they need every day. How much time you spend in this Bible? How much time you spend talking to Him in prayer? You're going to drive anywhere on Highway 40, you better spend a lot of time talking to Him. You might do it quickly. You see, there is a sealing spirit, a satisfying spirit, a saving spirit, a scanning spirit, a sealing spirit, a satisfying spirit. And you know there's also a suffering spirit. You know, there's a funny thing about airplanes. What goes up You know the rest of it. Must come down. And I have never yet been on an airplane that went in the air that we didn't come back down. If y'all ever hear that I'm on a plane somewhere and that thing went down and there's no survivors, y'all keep looking. Because I'm going to climb on the side of that plane as long as I possibly can. But you know, that is true in our life. Except for what goes up is one day going to keep on going up. Unless we go down into the grave. For the child of God, death is not a scary thing. Because it's just good night over here and good morning over there. You're just going to lay down and then wake up in the presence of God. What's scary about that? If you know Him as Savior, it's not scary at all. If you don't know Him as a Savior, that should scare the you-know-what out of you. Because we are all going to find a suffering spirit that's going to occur in our life. One day that plane of our life is going to start making its landing. They say most of the accidents happen in landings in an airplane. I've studied this thing since we have flown a lot, and I remember they say most of the accidents either happen, some at takeoff, some in the air, but majority of them are at landing, unless they have some help, you know, some kind of terrorist or anything. I don't know, I'm bad about, when I get on an airplane, first thing I do, I'm looking around. Does he look like a terrorist? Does she look like a terrorist? Which one we got to kill here, you know? But as they're going up and up, most of the time when they come down, they say the landing gives them a problem. Some of you know some preachers just like that, right? I'm sure I fit in there. Can't get it finished, and you can't land it. There is, if you think about it, what's one of the most difficult things in our life? It's the landing, isn't it? Somebody said getting old is not for sissies. You know, because it gets harder every day. And sometimes that can be one of the most difficult things, that suffering spirit in our life that we go through. And you know, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are trusting in Him, it's what we've talked about, filled with the Spirit, He'll be there with you. You know, if you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter, story of thinking about, I wanted to share with you with that out of the New Testament, Acts chapter, I believe it's Acts chapter 7. If you want to look at it, if you're like me, you can't look at it without reading glasses, so I'll put them on in a minute. You can just trust my reading. A suffering spirit. Because this plane ride is going to one day come to a close. You got to have the right ticket. You got to know where it's going. Acts chapter 7, we find what we understand from Bible commentators is the stoning of Stephen. Stephen was out, he preached a powerful message in front of these folks, and they didn't like it. He just basically told them about the cross and what happened at the cross. It might have had something to do with he called them murderers because they were there at the cross when they crucified Christ. But in verse number 55, very key to it, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, that's the word for Spirit, of course, Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped with their ears and ran upon him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And witnesses laid down their clothes and a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Of course, later would be the Apostle Paul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, lay not this sin to their charge. And he fell asleep. Stephen's landing. Do you see what happened? You know, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in a plane that crashes. Many years ago, I was with a friend who had a pilot's license, and sometimes we would take little short trips up different places. He had to fly so many hours to keep active. in one of those flights, we were doing a meeting, pardon me, that we had to attend up in South Georgia from Tampa, Florida. And we landed up there, and on the way back, I want you to know the radio, actually it was a different time because there was two people in the back. I forgot which time it was. And we had two guys sitting in the back, and he said, look, all the electric in this little Cessna, little four-seater. Have you ever flown one of those four-seater Cessnas? You get the MASH feeling, you know, like you're in an episode of MASH. I guess some of you younger ones don't even know what that is, do you? And the plane door is like, you know, flopping, and you've got your arm on it, and it's flopping side to side. You can look through the cracks of it, and not like these big commercial jobs. And he said, the electric on this plane has completely gone. I said, well, what are we supposed to do? And he said, well, that's the thing that slows us down. The back, well, I don't know, whatever that thing is on the back, that's supposed to make you slow down when you land, it will not work. And I said, you asking me to get out there and fix it? I mean, what do you want me to do, you know? And he said, no. He said, there is a way to land this plane without it. We turned around and told the guys behind us. We said, when we start circling the airport, we have no radio communication to the tower. We're going to circle three times, rock the wings, and they're understanding. They should understand if anybody, I was thinking, I hope somebody's paying attention. They should know that means we're in distress and we are going to come down whenever we can. We can't ask for clearance. I said, so you mean there's planes going to be coming in and all around? He said, well, hopefully not. He said, if you don't see any planes, I'm going to take the first break and we're going to dive in. And I said, all right. Well, the guy and his son in the back, they thought we were teasing them because we've been joking about plane wrecks. Turned around, looked at him, and he still thought we were teasing until we circled the third time and we started looking. And he said, y'all are real, aren't you? And John said, yes, sir, we are real. We have no electric. I mean, you could hear there was nothing. He tried a couple times, nothing on the electric. The electric went out in the plane completely. We circled three times, and he said, oh, I forgot to tell y'all, it might be a little rough. And he said, when we land, and you remember, you're like elbow to elbow with this guy, you know, in these little planes. He said, when we land, it's going to feel different. When we get about 8 feet off of the runway, I'm going to turn this plane sideways. Like, last I knew, they went that way when they land. And we're going to come in. And just before, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to do that a series of times to use the plane to help it slow its momentum down so that when we get, we're going to use all of the runway and hopefully we're going to be able to get this thing down to speed before we get to that chain link fence that's at the other end. And I said, now, wait a minute. What if we don't? He said, we'll worry about that when we get to it. I said, I'd rather worry about it now if you don't mind. It'd be a good time to tell me what's going to happen. I mean, because, you know, you think about this. He's turning that plane sideways. Guess who's on that side? He turned that plane sideways, and I kid you not, I looked down. We're 8 feet off the ground. I could see them lines, and they were going, you know, like one of them video games. And I thought I was going to die. And he did that two or three times, and we hit that last time. He turned it and dropped it, and we bounced a couple of times, and I could see that fence coming. And I'm going, I'm putting on the brakes, and there wasn't a single brake. I'm pretty sure there was a dent in the bottom of that plane. And we got to the end of that runway, and we did a donut around there like when Brad and I was racing on the carts almost. I mean, it just, and we slung around to the other, and we landed, and we all walked in, and decided to go clothes shopping and all that. And we got in there and you know what? This is the honest truth. Y'all know I wouldn't lie to you. That plane, it was a rental plane. Gotta be careful with rentals. The very next week, that plane was in the news, and the next time we saw it, it was hanging from a power line, and everybody in it got killed. And I said, phew, glad I got out of that one. I haven't been back in a four-seater Cessna to this day. And probably the only way I would is if I'm flying it. And I don't know if that would make it any better. There is going to come a time that we are going down. You are not ready to live till you're ready to die. And Stephen here, He goes through this suffering spirit, and what does he see? You ever notice that this is really neat? He doesn't just see the Holy Spirit, it says, is within him. It tells us here he was filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit, I don't believe he felt a rock. If you know anything about Jewish stonings, they weren't little pebbles. They would throw boulders at their knees first so they couldn't run away and break their legs and ankles, and then they would sit there and just continually pelt them till they died. It's a very gruesome form of execution. You don't, all you see is it says, and he fell asleep. I'm like, okay, he rocked me to sleep with big rocks. And he just was gone. You say, how did he do that? You know, saved people don't die like lost people do. Over the years, I've been to a lot of bedsides when they took their last breath. Done a lot of funerals. Now, Brother Billy said this year he's done 20 funerals since January. I've done quite a few of my time, unfortunately, as well. And there's one thing is guaranteed. One out of one person dies unless the rapture happens. And as Stephen is there, so he's looking up. The Word of God tells us, God the Father, he says, I see God sitting there. And then, what's beside him? Jesus. He said, on the right hand of God, but he wasn't sitting. He was standing. And the Holy Spirit's already in him, helping with the transport. And I kind of believe, God, you can see it however you want to, but just let me alone in my imagination. I see God saying, Jesus up there going, come on, boy, come on, come on. Keep coming, you're fine. Won't hurt a bit. I'm here. And he welcomed him right into those pearly gates. He said, I don't believe any of that's real. Well, you can believe what you want to. But you know, I would rather, I asked somebody one time, was an atheist. I'd been talking with him for a while. And I said, well, you know what? If I'm wrong and you say nothing happens, we just fall in a hole, then I guess I'm not out much to the atheist. Somebody was talking to him on visitation one night, and I said, but if you're wrong, and there is a heaven, and we know there is, and there is a hell, the consequences are a lot harder. And as Stephen is standing there looking, he knew where he was going. It was settled. He come running in. I'll never forget, and I'll close with this. I know what time it is. I want to get you out before Walmart closes. And some of you get that later. They do close these days, I guess. But if I'll never forget, my dad was a mechanic all of his life. He wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a very loud man. He was a lot bigger than I am, had huge hands, worked with his hands, mechanics all of his life. And he really didn't, he was not a speaker, didn't talk in front of people, would not, you know, do that ever. But I remember when he was told he had terminal cancer. And I remember one of the letters he wrote a letter for Melanie. I think she may still, I don't know, but he wrote a letter for her, and he said, you know, sometimes when there's nobody else in the room, and this was just a few weeks before he passed away, and he was doing stuff right up to just before, and he walked over, laid down on the bed, and the next thing we knew he was in heaven, just went to sleep. He wrote in her to a letter. He said, sometimes I see the angels, they come sit at the corner of my bed. And if you know my dad, he was a very factual man. He was not somebody who believed in a lot of myth and superstition and all that stuff. But I want to ask you today, how is yours? Is it a first-class faith? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed just for a moment and ask Brother Brad and our musicians to come and play whatever they feel like God would have them play. We come to the invitation time where, let's make it a, anybody that wants to come down, you want to come down and pray, then you certainly do. Maybe you want to come and pray for folks you know that need to trust Christ. Maybe you just want to come and thank God that He has given you a first-class faith. Let me say, Brother Tim, what you have and what those that are talking about here, I don't have, but I'd like it. You know, it's very easy. We can share with you what the Bible says. Just believe in your heart. The Lord Jesus has raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved.